welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 94. I am, as always, Bruce McGee. I'm sure you already know that. Joining me this week, as usual, is John.
Hey, everybody, and Happy New Year.
You going to quit that at the end of January, or what are we working with that deal? No, yeah, do it all year. You're not stuck.
My buddy says, my buddy Roger at work says it's my catchphrase.
Yeah, there you go.
So yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. It's going to probably get pretty freaking old by June for you, I would imagine.
Yeah, maybe.
Happy New Year, you bastards. No, piss off. Also joining us this week is, that's right, he's back. I'm looking at the Smurfberry pancakes, Glacinator.
Hello, everyone. Hopefully I'll be on the whole episode if my connection holds up. But so far, it's looking good.
Yes, we'll see. We're rolling the college internet dice. I swear to God, Glace, if you're anybody else, I would think you were on some kind of mind-altering substance when you guys made those pancakes. But I know you weren't. If you didn't notice, there's a voice missing here. Mr. Patrick and his wonderful wife had their son either last night or this morning, and I'm now forgetting. So we'd like to send a big WonderPod congratulations to Patrick and family, and welcome TPB, as I'm calling him. Let's just call it that, although everybody should know because most of you probably followed Pat on Facebook, into the world.
I think if we're gonna keep his name anonymous, we should call him Pat Baby because he's Pat Man.
Pat Baby.
Yeah.
I said Ninja Baby on his Facebook.
You know, I like wife, that. So. I like that. Yes, I was actually debating whether my congratulatory shout out, which I asked him if he was okay with, on Facebook, well, should it be Ninja Wife and Ninja Baby are doing okay, or just kind of go with that? I kind of like the TPB because it does actually stand for something. Although Pat Baby, I don't know. Now you guys have given me like three or four things to put on the banner, so now at least I've got some choice. Because believe it or not, most of the time the banner sayings do come from some element that was plucked out of the show or just out of my crazy ass head, depending on the week. So, I mean, like 3D Phallic kind of explains itself for a couple episodes ago. You know. Let's see. So there you go. Congrats, guys. We have no idea when or if for Pat will be back or in what form or fashion, but we hope you stick with us. We're going to do our best to get you some Patman time of some kind on this show in the coming weeks, but obviously it goes without saying that it's, you know, he's spending time with his wife and son. Makes total sense to me. There are things more important than gaming, amazingly enough. I know it's hard for some of you to believe, but we wish them the very best, and you can harass him on Facebook. Like I said, most of our listeners already know us, so it's not like this is a some mass anonymous audience. As we were joking before the show, I think I'm going to have you do what you've been playing first, John, since you're probably going to have the most to say.
Okay, sure. There are a couple of repeat offenders here in my playing list, but one thing I have been playing that's new is Split Second, which is a racing game that I got on the cheap off a PSN sale, so it was a full game download for $10, so I can't complain about that. So what it is a racing game, unlike Blur, which came out the same week. Well, I guess this and Blur both came out the same week as Red Dead Redemption. I was saying last week that Alan Wake also came out that week. So like those two games, nobody bought Split Second as well, which is probably why I got it for $10. But what it is a racing game, which unlike Blur, which was a Mario Kart-esque game, but with realistic cars, Split Second is a racing game with realistic cars, where instead of weapons like you know, that you shoot at another guy, another racer, what you do is you kind of create explosions or different catastrophes in the environment to take out your fellow racers. So, for example, if you do a lot of drifts, you build up and drafting, you build up this meter to give you access to I can't remember the name, but I'll call it an event. And you trigger an event when an icon pops up above the guy who's in range of the destruction. So you'll hit a button, and a building will explode at the side, and rubble will fall down on the track and take a guy out. Or you'll, Another one might be that you hit a button and a helicopter will drop something, you know, I don't know if it's bombs or whatever it might be, but drop stuff on the player. And of course, you know, there's a small element of risk, because if you're too close to the destruction, you could get hit as well and have a crash and set yourself back. So it's kind of a different twist I don't want to call it a kart racer, because it's not a kart racer, because the actual driving is, you know, it's somewhat realistic. So it's a lot. It's pretty fun. It's really beautiful. So when you do these events, it's quite spectacular. Sometimes the race will kind of slow down. The camera will zoom out to the spot that the thing is happening. Say it's further up the track, and so you don't miss the carnage and your opponent going for a tumble. It just zips right in, shows you the explosion, zips back, and you keep on going. So it's really well done. Very well designed, and I've only played the first couple of races, trying to get first place. But it's well worth $10 from what I've played so far. I heard a lot of good buzz about it online, and in comparison to Blur, I mean, the common complaint about Blur is just what I said: it's Mario Kart but with realistic cars. This is a twist on that. So yeah, I'm enjoying it, and I'm looking forward to playing some more. Another game I played with my wife was some Rock Band 3. There was some new downloadable content this week again, of course. They have DLC songs every week. And this week was a couple of songs by the Edgar Winter Group, which were Free Ride and Frankenstein. And I got those songs because I was inspired to buy those songs because I watched Dazed and Confused on Netflix a few weeks ago, which is a great movie. One of my favorites that I can basically put on, you know, just about any time and enjoy. So there's some great music in that movie, and Free Ride being one of them. And yeah, had a lot of fun with that last night with my wife. So now I'll get into some of the regulars with repeats with a few more comments. So one would be Bastion, of course. I'm really enjoying. I'm getting toward the end. I think I only have two more levels to play before I hit the end. So, and I haven't been playing it a lot. I think in terms of long spurts. So it's not a really long game. I think it's probably around 8 hours or so, which is fine for a cheap downloadable title, in my opinion. But yeah, it's really cool how the gameplay is all great and stuff. But I'm really enjoying the slow unfolding of the story of Bastion with that narrator. It's because I really find it's a really unique way to tell the story without having to resort to cutscenes or if you have like two static characters just standing like sitting there on the screen with text scrolling by trying to tell a story. Because with the audio, it's just if and how well it's actually narrated, it's very natural, and you can't help but want to listen to what this narrator has to say with this, you know, deep voice. It's really well done, and I really recommend that people try it out. It was one of my games of the year. It was in my top 10 that I submitted to sidequesting.com, and it was in the overall list as well. I did notice about Bastion that you can get it for Google Chrome. A couple of weeks back, Bruce was talking about the various things you can get on the Google Chrome app store that they have. It's not free, but at first when I saw it there, I was like, oh my goodness, this is a $15 game, and here it is free. But really, what it is the demo that you can unlock by paying the $15. So it's on PC. Like you can get it on Steam, you can get it on Chrome, it's on Xbox Live. So you know, there's lots of ways to get it, guys. So really give it a shot. And finally, I'm gonna come back to Pushmo for 3DS, which continues to impress me with its. The difficulty of the puzzles is getting increasingly higher. They add new tools and new ways to really change your way you think about how the puzzles, how to solve the puzzles that are put in front of you. So like I said, briefly described, about it's basically you're given a wall of blocks, and the blocks are in sort of a shape, they're not quite the Tetris blocks, but they remind me of that, like long pieces with short stubs, and you have to pull these things in and out in 3D space and find a way to get to the top. And what, as you get deeper into the game, they start throwing these new tools at you, and in a way, it kind of made me think about Portal, because there'll be a hole with a ladder that goes down in one spot of the pushmo, and the puzzles are called pushmos, they go down this hole, and it will come up in another place, and you have to figure out how to maneuver these blocks and pieces around so that the use of this ladder and the hole is to your advantage. And Portal was kind of like that. And you had to think about the environment and where you're going to place these things to get to the exit. But this is more you manipulate the environment to fit your portal. So it's really cool, and how it makes you think about these puzzles differently the more things they throw at you. And it's a fantastic game. It's on 3DS. It's like $6 or $7 or $8. Definitely worth your time if you're looking for something to play on 3DS. If you've burned through Mario Kart and Mario Land 3D. So yeah, that's about all I've been playing. So yeah, check out Pushmo and Bastion.
It's funny, John, because I know when I see big titles like that on Chrome, that there's no way they're free. So, like, I scroll past them. So when you said it was free, I'm like, oh, my God, I saw you on Twitter there. I said, God, have I overlooked all these stupid titles that I figured were cost cash? And then, like, you know, I was screwing around because I was trying to determine how much my Twitter account was worth, for the record.
Yeah, I saw that.
$21. I'm selling it for $19 if anybody's interested. I'd really like to know how they come up with that number. It was actually higher than I thought. I figured it'd be like negative numbers. So when you came back and said, yeah, it costs money, that's where you have to be a little careful. Sometimes buying those is okay if your computer's powerful enough, but I played the demos or played the trials of a couple higher-end ones. My laptop's really was never meant for anything more than, you know, just browsing the web, a few minor things here and there. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't do well with them.
Bastion is not a big graphic whore, so
no.
it's something that'll it seems to me that it would play on a lot of PCs or laptops. The reason why I made the mistake about the price was that it's not until you go into the game, into the main menu, and it says unlock the game that I noticed anything to do with a price.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I went ahead and installed it, and it was there. And when I got in, I was like, oh, okay. So then I had to correct myself on Twitter.
Well, and luckily the uninstall process with Chrome is really easy. Yeah. You know, it doesn't take much.
So guys, try the demo. I mean, it's free, and it's not a big download. It was only, I think it was only like 60 megs, and that was it. So,
yeah, and it was really cheap on the Steam sale toward the end of it. But at that point, I had so many games, and it just didn't seem like it was super my cup of tea. So I just kind of avoided it. But yeah, if I catch it on sale again, I think I'm going to have to pick it up. Yeah. Mr. Glacinator, I know you're busy with school and all those important education things, but have you been playing anything this week?
All right, so this week, I actually have been playing one game, and I picked it up the week before college started because I went to GameStop to reserve my Legend of Zelda copy, Skyward Sword, and they had sold my reserved copy. So I got mad at the cashier because they'd sold it, and I just, out of frustration, I picked up Driver San Francisco. I don't know why I chose that out of all the games that were there, but I was looking at it when they showed it at E3 last year, and I sort of like driving games. I have a love-hate relationship with them, and this one seemed sort of interesting, so I decided to pick it up. And basically, it's your average driving game, but the catch is that when you press the A button, your character can sort of turn into a ghost and float up into the sky and sort of possess other cars. So you can basically switch cars on the go whenever you want to. And while that's sort of an interesting idea, the game really wasn't all that great. They elaborated on this gameplay sort of style where you shifted into more cars and then you could shift into multiple cars at the same time and do different stuff. And it got to where the last level, you were able to telepathically throw cars at your enemies and it was really cool. And then all of a sudden you realize that this was all a dream, and you wake up and the last level is just a basic driving mission, and it was super lame. So I can't really recommend this, but it was sort of relaxing. It's one of those games where you just chill out and play. I'd say that once it's in a bargain bin for like $10, I would pick it up. It sort of reminded me of a Midtown Madness type of game where you just kind of drive around and all the CGI characters sort of just dodge the car. You can't hit any of them. So I'd say wait until this one is a little bit cheaper to pick it up. Other than that, I guess it was meh. And other than that, I really have been playing that much since I said college just started. But I did pick up Photoshop the other day, and I've been playing around. And I'm trying to make this gaming related, but in my Photoshop class the other day, we had to take a celebrity and edit the picture. So I found a picture of Miyamoto on the internet, and I turned him into a hippopotamus. So I'll make sure I send that picture to you guys, because it's pretty funny. But that's what I've been playing.
Yeah, I need to... My previous copy of Photoshop was so ancient that I really need to start working with masks and using more than like 3 or 4 layers and kind of break out of the old school shell and start doing a little more with it. Some of the filtering options when you're using a blank screen is kind of throwing me, or, you know, no background or original art. And it's, I think maybe I need to go get a Photoshop for Dummies book. It's been so long since I actually had a new copy that I've kind of just been struggling along trying to teach myself. But there's so much there that, I may want to, not sure I really want to take a class at a junior
college.
As
a suggestion, I wouldn't say to just start from scratch. Just start from an image and work from there. And that always works better for me.
Yeah, I've been doing that a little bit. And I think I probably need to do it more. Some of the banners that I use, that I do for this podcast, I start with a pre-image, filter it up until I'm ready, and then I'll cut it to the proper size for the little touchy slideshow that we have on WonderPod Online, and then do the rest of it, do the lettering, and if I'm filtering any of the letters, so on and so forth. So, yeah, I know you're absolutely right. That's what I need to do. I just need to sit down and put the time in with it. I just haven't had that time yet, because I've only had it a couple months. As for what I've been playing, I was playing with Photoshop. You can find my pre-coffee art, as I was calling it, heavy on the pre-coffee, light on the art, on Facebook, Google+, all that crap. Other than Photoshop, it's kind of been a light week for me, too, because I've been super, super busy. We were trying to get a lot of stuff at work done before weather moved in here to California. And so, and springtime, early springtime, late winter always seems to be really slammed for me with work. So I've been playing Minecraft. And funnily enough, and I bet maybe only two people will get this joke, Minecraft for me has always been, I'm kind of like Sarah Winchester. I just keep building and 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 building until I get bored of it, and I trash the map, get rid of it, bye-bye, and start over again. I've created a single-player map this time around that I actually like, and I may actually stick some screenshots on WPO at some point, because it's the designs of the buildings aren't, you know, nothing avant-garde or you know, startling and new. I mean, there's way better stuff on our multiplayer server that Glace and I play on, but it's just kind of the setting where I put it and all of that. And it's just, it's one of those games that I can just come home and kind of, oh, I'm too damn tired to do anything else, and play. That said, on top of Minecraft, I also did pick up the full version of Choplifter HD. Now, while I finally hit a level that seems a little more cheap than difficult, granted it was like 15, 16 missions in, it has been a blast. It is definitely, as I said last week, just from playing the demo, an awesome HD remake. It's the way you should do HD remakes, as far as I'm concerned. And I still highly recommend picking up the demo. Really not much to say about it more than I said last week. You know, I mean, the humor's kind of cheesy. Some of the stuff can get a little on the cheap side. Like I said, this one level is just kind of a disaster, and maybe I'm just not using the right helicopter or haven't figured out how to use another helicopter with it. But it's definitely a lot of fun. may not be worth 1,200 points unless you played the original and loved it to death, but it's worth easily 800. So if you don't want to pick it up at 12, watch for sales. And finally, and we talked about this in a discussion topic last week, I played the demo for Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning. Now, I played it a little bit for the free upgrades, because I do plan on playing Mass Effect, although I'm not super, it's like super excited about whatever I unlocked. To tell you the truth, I didn't even pay that close attention. I did, however, play it because I saw a couple people I respect and tend to have a similar taste in games as they do, really enjoyed the demo. So I picked it up. I was telling these guys pre-show that it's probably smack dab in the middle art style-wise between Skyrim's grittiness and WoW's cartooniness. It's definitely pretty. It's almost too brightly colored for me. I found the way they did the demo very interesting. You start out in what I would suspect is the tutorial of the full game. And then once you get out of that and get your first couple quests in the starter town, I think it's maybe 10 minutes after you get your first starter quest, and that's an estimate. There's a message that comes up on the screen and says you have 45 minutes to complete missions. Go to town. Or explore, or do whatever you want. I found that kind of demo, I mean, yes, it's a time demo, they've been around for years, but I found it kind of awesome for an open world game. You know, especially since they told you. Like, the Choplifter demo was timed, but you didn't know it. Eventually, splash screen comes up, and with a little video that tells you, you know, what the full game is going to be like. I'm still on the fence about whether I'm going to pick it up at the full $60. I need to go look at Amazon and see what pre-order crap they got, or if I'm going to get some like $20 off discounts for future purchases. Maybe I'll do it. But the nice thing about this, and God help us all if EA actually got smart enough to figure this out, but it's coming out February 7th. That is a brilliant time to have a new IP or you know, a game like this that not too many people know about to come out. So, if you love open-world RPGs, I'd recommend giving the demo a shot. You're going to lose about an hour and 30 minutes of your life if you don't like it, or maybe only 30 minutes if you could after the tutorial. So, and just like in the discussion topic we talked about last week, I unlocked almost everything that EA was promoting, the cross-promotion thing. As far as the Kingdoms side of the demo, I'll have to wait until Valentine's Day to find out with the Mass Effect 3 demo. But, and to be honest, part of the reason I hopped into that demo was because I read the story about the cross-promotion. I didn't really so much do it for the cross-promotion as just that story's like, whoa, that's kind of a cool concept. And I do intend to play Mass Effect 3. I'm not orgasmically excited for Mass Effect 3 like some people, but it's a story I want to see how they wrap up. There's some things potentially about the game that I'm not going to be madly in love with, as I babbled on about 100 times. So there you go. Three games. That's all I've been playing this week. You guys are going to have to come down off the Christmas high when John and I were spending the third world debt of a small country on Steam. Although I think I took the grand prize for that.
Yeah, so. I think you got a few more than I did, but I did my fair share.
Yeah, I did my damn, and that's the problem with being so tired and exhausted, and not like, because everything I bought outside of Civ is, and maybe Costume Quest, is a thinking game. Like, I'm in a point in Batman where it's like, I really got to be concentrating to do this, and really got to be in a certain kind of mood. And the same thing with Portal 2. So, you know, it's like, yeah.
Hey Bruce, I gotta ask you: are you playing Batman with a controller or with the mouse and keyboard?
Mouse and keyboard.
So how does that work? What do
you use like WASD or the arrow keys to move him?
Okay.
And you use the mouse to look around, which once you set the camera sensitivity, isn't too bad.
Okay.
And then you use the. You use a combination of buttons on the mouse and and keys, you know, for the gadgets. And I've changed some of them from default. Like generally when I'm playing with a keyboard and mouse setup, I'll use WASD to move, and then I try and keep my other keys to like ZXCVB, and then usually there's some mouse buttons incorporated. It's one of the things that kind of torques me off about Costume Quest is that they have like six different buttons you have to use to block, and they're all a real pain in the ass to get right. Like you only get like a tenth of a second to see them, and they're spread way out. It's like E, shift, spacebar. It's like, oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah, it's a nightmare in combat. Now, to Costume Quest's defense, I have not looked to see if the buttons are programmable because it only became a pain in the ass in toward the end of my last play session. As far as playing Batman Arkham Asylum with a keyboard and mouse, I had no issue with it, you know. I play with the 360 enough that sometimes switching back to the keyboard and mouse gives me momentarily an issue. Mm-hmm. But the only game that really has made me go, you know, I need to buy a USB adapter for my 360 controller was Fallout New Vegas. And that's because the camera in that one was also controlled by the mouse, but the sensitivity, you couldn't get it right. I'm not a huge sensitivity freak in either my controller setups or my mouse, but it seemed like the camera was either panning way too fast and lagging out on a brand new frickin' box, you know, or it was going too damn slow to catch up with what was going on.
Right.
So
I asked because I'm teasing the idea in my head whether I wanted to get a wired controller for my PC for some games that I've bought. But so are you saying that I can use? You know, I'm a. Just pardon my ignorance on this, but can you can buy a cable to go from your wireless controller to your computer?
I don't know. I did research on it once and then quit, but I'm pretty sure you can buy an adapter for the 360 controller that goes
I think right now like any wired controller will work, but then that's, you know, $40 or $30 or whatever.
Yeah, if you want to try a controller, I'll tell you the same thing I did Pat, because Pat was having, and of course it didn't help, I was giving him a massive amount of shit about it too. Pat was having a hell of a time getting in tune with keyboard and mouse again. Mm-hmm. If he'd been console from like minute one, totally and solid, I probably would have given him less shit, but he's a little more of an old school PC gamer than he lets on. You can go to like Best Buy or Future Shop. It looks like the old PlayStation 2 controllers, mm-hmm. made by Logitech. USB, it's mappable. It's mappable even if you don't use the Logitech software, you know, if you don't want to plug in the disc or stick in the disc. I'm not even sure if they come with them anymore. $20. And it's basically a dual stick PS2 setup, so it's similar to the 360. Mm-hmm. And you can see if that's actually going to work better for you than learning. With a mouse, and then you can spend, you know, like a little more if you want. I've had pretty good luck with them over the years. I've got one rotting around here somewhere that I think I chucked once because it doesn't work too well anymore, but it probably lasted me 6 or 7 years before it quit working well. The thing I liked about it was mappable buttons, and the reason I got it was because playing No Mercy on the PC. Mm-hmm. I can do it with a keyboard and mouse, but it ain't freaking easy. By the way, to answer your question, let's see here. What's Amazon got? A 360 wireless gaming receiver for Windows. $21.99 on Amazon.com.
Okay.
And it's got a 4-star rating. So basically, it looks, I think you just plug the thing into... Yeah, looks like you just plug it into. Yeah, it looks like you just plug a USB and it goes.
Sweet.
So there you go. I may have to pick one of those. I may have to pick one of those up. Okay, let's try this.
Put the link in the chat there, would you?
No, I don't know if they make one for Mac, Glacinator. You might be shithouse out of luck.
They probably don't. I've come to accept my gaming fate on computers.
Oh, one of these days when you're a rich and successful gaming artist, you can purchase a PC from Alienware to game on and still maintain your Mac status. It's pretty much what everybody I know.
Someday.
Yeah. Pretty much. Hey, I'm still trying to get there. I've upgraded to a quad core. I'm happy with that. Next stop, Alienware. Yeah, I'll probably be collecting Social Security by the time that happens. Okay, there you go, John. There's a link for you to look at.
Oh, they're $50 on Amazon.ca. Oh god!
You're kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, you pay the shipping. You pay the shipping. I'll order it, send it to my house. I'll mail it to you. Good lord, that's insane. I know you guys' exchange rate's higher than ours, but my god, that's bad.
I think that's probably from an independent seller rather than Amazon themselves. I'd say someone's jacked the price up.
Unless I grabbed the wrong link. I might have grabbed the wrong link. It might not have been the one I was looking at earlier. Let's see what it says on here. Nope, it says $21.99 on mine.
Yeah. Yeah, I what you sent me on your link you sent me, was it that was $22, yeah. Crazy. Anyway.
Okay, let's do a shoot. Let's finish the show before my internet decides to take a dump on me again. Damn it, I switched the cable so storms would not do this, and the crappy thing is the wind ain't blowing that hard. Okay, let's move on to discussion topic. Our discussion topic this week, warning, prepare, we're actually going to talk about politics stuff. Here's the thing, it's politics shit you should actually care about, because it can affect you and just about everything you do on the internet. I know, I've heard the whispers, I've had talking tos by various and sundry people that, well, you should just be talking about games, damn it. We don't want to hear about these lawsuits and legal stuff that doesn't matter to us. This stuff does. If you don't know yet what I'm talking about some legislation that's in the currently in the American Congress. The shorthand for it is SOPA/PIPA, yes, or PIPA if you prefer to be non-perverted about it. SOPA is basically the Stop Online Piracy Act. Now, to boil it all down for you, here's what's got everybody so panicked and upset about it. The entertainment industry, basically music, movies, TV, want to stop pirates overseas from basically making large amounts of money on pirated movies, this kind of thing. Now, the key phrase there is making money. What they did in this piss poorly written bill was make it so that basically the entertainment industry could start shutting down websites without following much, if any, due process in the U.S. courts. Now that, to some of our international or Canadian or wherever you may be listeners, may sound like, well, why should I care? It's America. Because this is the first bill in a long time with the internet that I actually have been paying close attention to and actually have been participating, contacting my senators, congressmen, all that fun stuff. And because it will have a wide-reaching effect if it ever comes to pass. Now, currently, as we sit here and record tonight, it's probably not going to pass. Thing about it is, if you've followed American politics at all, it took them twice, 10 years apart basically, to get universal health care passed in this country. Most likely, the second attempt is going to go down in court, but they're going to try again. So if you think for one second that the entertainment industry and, you know, various and sundry corporations are going to stop at one attempt, you're nuts. Now, while I don't really want to discuss with these guys the "we hate corporations" is Anonymous doing the right thing, are they actually activists for once? I don't want to get any of that bullshit. Don't care about it. Basically, what you as a listening audience need to know is if you haven't done something to support the people trying to stop it, I'd really recommend it because it will affect every last one of you. What I'm a little curious about is pirates, because most of the time in gaming, when we talk about piracy, we talk about gamers snagging one, maybe two games, trying to stick it to the man, you know, DRM and all that crap. But in reality, there are professional pirates. You can go into almost any country on Earth, probably including America and Canada, and buy pirated DVDs, pirated CDs, pirated this, pirated that. fake Prada bags. The lists go on and on and on. So my question to you, John, we'll start with you, is are there some kind of pirates who are actually detrimental to some of these entertainment companies, including gaming companies? You have to include that in there. Or are they completely out to lunch on this issue?
Well, I can give you an example of one service that I'm aware of. Someone I know, I won't name names or anything, but I know someone who pays a fee to access movies. And unfortunately, there's no games in this, but they're basically paying somebody to whose service is to find the best BitTorrent copies of various movies, whether this person does. I don't think this person realizes this is what the service actually is. They think they're paying for the movies, but they're paying for the person to find the best quality copies of BitTorrents of, you know, movies that are in theaters, movies that are on DVD, whatever it might be. You know, like I remember saying, you know, I can't wait to go see. Geez, what was it? I can't wait to go see X-Men. First class. Oh, I already saw that at home on my computer. And I said, "Oh, yeah, I don't think that's legal." And then the person said, "Of course it's legal. I paid for it." And so I think there was a complete lack of understanding of what the service actually was. Like it might be, it actually was a foreign service, or a company, I guess you want to call it, who took their money and offering these movies. I didn't look into it too hard. I don't know whether the company is acting on a hey, it's totally legal kind of thing. But I mean, I could go to the Pirate Bay and find the exact same copy on my own if I was willing to dig hard enough. But you know, a few people actually, a couple of people who do it, they pay for the best. They pay for the best ones. You know, whether they be Handycam. You know, I remember I got a complaint from the person saying, "Yeah, I was trying to watch what came out, something that came out recently. I can't remember. It was a current movie anyway that was just out. Yeah, the version of the movie that they gave me was somebody had a video camera in the theater filming the screen." And I said, "That's exactly what it is, illegally." So yeah, there's definitely those things out there, and I've seen it first, or at least I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it firsthand.
Those things are called CamPot videos, and most of the ones, and by most, I think I've maybe seen three or four at various times. They've been around for years, pretty much since the invention of the internet. They're like watching a movie with a whole box of Saran wrap wrapped around your head. I don't know. I have enough patience to wait until the movies are in theaters or till they hit DVD or till they hit Netflix. But you point out a perfect one, and that's one that, I mean, in some foreign countries, you can buy them with a DVD case that has, like, the, you know, basically the movie poster. Now, to you, is that something that these companies have a right to be going after? Is there some truth to what they're claiming in this SOPA PIPA mess, you know, that they are being irreparably harmed by stuff like that? Or do you think it's all overboard?
I think it's a valid reason to be concerned. It's dollars. You know, this person who I'm talking about could have gone to the theater and paid their money to go see it, and they didn't. You know, and they'll probably never watch it again. It's not like they'll, hey, this is a demo of this movie or a backup copy of this movie, and I'll watch it. You know, it's sitting on their computer, and they might keep it, they might not, but they've watched it. It's done, it's over. It's, you know, if I was you know, film company X, I'd be pretty pissed off about that.
So you think they have a right to be to a certain extent?
Yeah, I think they have a right to be concerned about it and be bitching about it. But this whole, you know, I don't, we'll probably not get into it, but this whole snowball effect of the repercussions of the way that it's all going down, and you know, the castrating of the internet and everything that everybody's so concerned about. That's not what I wanted. I want to see. I want to see artists get their just desserts, but I don't want to see the internet ruined because of it.
Mr. Glacinator, you hang around a bunch of college kids, although I know you're a pretty straight-laced CM Punk type kid yourself. See that I'm covering for you, even if you're not, so don't blow it. Do you think that these professional pirates are the ones that may actually be making a dent in the movie company's wallets? Are they going too far? Do you have any stories of your encounters with this kind of stuff? So on and so forth.
Well, yes, you can't just ignore these people that are pirating all this stuff. I have tons of friends, of course I won't say names, that have hard drives of movies. I mean, I cannot think of one person I know that doesn't know how to pirate a movie. It's just all kids now pretty much know how to go on the internet and get music or get a movie off of it for free. It's not that hard. It's easy to learn. But the thing that is important to remember here about SOPA is that while SOPA is trying to say, yes, we're going to stop all these pirates, we're going to stop this, we're going to save, we're losing money, we're going to make this all better, that's not going to happen. You can't have all this regulation on the internet where the internet is supposed to be completely free. And so the whole bill is contradicting itself on the basis of a free internet. So while I can say as much as I want that I don't like pirates, SOPA, while it does say that it wants to stop that, it won't really stop it. Because like I always say, hackers going to hack, pirates going to pirate. It applies to everything. Even with the SOPA Act, if they find a website that they want to have blocked, they'll block the web address, but you can still access the IP address. So it defeats the whole purpose. This bill is just stupid, and everyone should oppose it if you have common sense. The end.
As a younger person, someone who's more likely, and I'm not making any claims about you, I'm just doing a general opener, someone who's more likely to maybe identify with the Reddit crowd who thinks all corporations should be shot and we should be in communes, and because they don't understand that pretty much sucks under any kind of governmental type and there's always going to be haves and have-nots, do these movie companies and so on and so forth have any right to come up with some kind of legislation to go after pirates like this? Or do you think they're completely full of shit and they should just get over it?
Some days I think one of those things, and some days I'm the other. I don't know. It really depends. There's some companies that really are, you know, good companies, but there are a lot of companies out there that are just money-grabbing companies that just want to get money from whatever, however they can. If they can sue a 14-year-old girl for downloading some catch-a song off the internet, then they will do it. So it's a lot more situational, but for the most part, I am, yes, the big corporations that are doing this are bad.
And see, that's the thing. There's so many nuances to this. It's why I brought it up. It's obvious Glacinator's been paying attention to SOPA. And like I said, as much as I like discussing this and boring the audience to tears, I'm never that active a participant in it. American politics tends to disgust me. Both sides, any side of the fence you want to talk about, for a number of reasons I'm not going to get involved with or into on this show. But this is a bad bill. Make no mistake about it. The entertainment industry, much like so many other groups, and it's not just big corporations. I've seen politicians do this. In fact, Obama did it with his healthcare bill. The Republicans have done it with some of their bills. You can look around the world. They wanted it all. They didn't just want to take care of the problem. They wanted it all. They wanted to just be able to have their cake and eat it too, basically. And to be honest, having lived through multiple pieces of legislation like this, I really wasn't all that concerned about this bill. I did my part, mostly behind the scenes, signing positions, emails, that kind of thing. But ultimately, the language in this bill was so horrid and so vague that it was going down in the courts, you know. But I still struggle especially in this case where you're talking that people are actually making large amounts of money off of pirated DVDs and so on and so forth for resale. We're not talking about torrents or Pirate Bay where somebody just uploads it and then you download it. You know, I struggle with the balance between protecting your intellectual property and not impinging on people's freedoms. Now, of course, like Glacinator said, and I see it all the time, you know, big corpse bad, ooh. But at the same time, there's a lot of people who aren't millionaires who worked very hard on some of these products that are getting kiped. That's stolen for those of you that don't know old man speak. So I struggle with that. And it's kind of why I wanted to bring it up here. First, to make the three of you who don't know about it now aware of it. And second, because I just think it's a fascinating discussion topic to hear these guys' input on. Personally, for me, I'm against the bill totally. I knew one way, shape, or form it was going down. If you really want to do something about these professional pirates that are costing you money, then write something more specific. But the other thing I want to make damn sure a lot of you understand is this isn't over. Even if SOPA and PIPA go away, may not be for 5 years, may not be for 10 years, but they're not done. You know, and that's one place where the entertainment industry is a complete bunch of bastards, because they're going to keep trying and trying and trying until they finally get somebody, you know. Ultimately, in my mind, and hey, I'm human, I have every chance of being wrong. Ultimately, in my mind, I don't think they'll ever be able to write one that, you know, harms the internet in any significant way that will survive court challenges. But you know, this is something that for once is important. This is something that we as gamers and we as people of the internet have to stop and pay attention to. You know, sure, we can skip a lot of lawsuit stories, a lot of things like that, and maybe this isn't directly tied to gaming, but it's a nice you know, discussion and situation to discuss that there are some things that we as gamers do need to pay attention to. Because even if all you do is plug in your little console and play games, bet you a dollar to a donut if this sucker passed as it was originally intended, you would be affected by it. I don't know. There's a lot I struggle with it, but this bill, as it sits, is horrid. And if you want, you know, you need to write your congressman, check out Facebook, check out other places. I mean, you can't go anywhere without really reading about it. So there you go. That's been our discussion topic. John, you good over there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I figured. It's, ooh, evil politics. Yeah, let's get away from this topic. Let's get away from this topic, and let's move to another old discussion topic we did, because that's what we're going to do really quick. I don't think you were on the show, Glacinator. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure you were, John. Remember when we were talking about basically me taking cheap shots at Cliffy for whining about eight?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did the discussion topic where when should developers shut up? Where's that line? I think was the way I phrased the question to you guys. I found the line. I have found the line. I'm about to do a public service. And John, you're a little more in the Twitter world, so you may know where I'm going to go with this. I think I found the line when developers should know it's time to shut the hell up. That whining about what reviewers did to you, you're just making things even worse. Cliffy was one case. This is a whole nother. Now, I don't remember this guy's name, and I'm not going to trudge my way through Facebook trying to find it. But the game in question was Amy. It was a XBLA downloadable title, supposed to be survival horror. I don't know. I haven't even touched the game. It got flogged in reviews. Now, normally, while I'm not a big fan of Metacritic, when you want to know what I mean by flogged, and this is without its user score, it has a 24 out of 100 currently on Metacritic. You heard me correctly. 24 out of 100. Its highest review is a 40. Its lowest, by somebody I know, I'm sure you guys can all sing along at home with me who this is. I mentioned him often enough. I take that back. He's got some company down there. the two lowest reviews are a 1 out of 10 and a 1.5 out of 10 by my favorite guy over at Destructoid. Okay, so you understand this game is just bad. You don't. This game is one of those ones you don't even need to play to know it's bad. In fact, when it comes down to price, you may play it to see just how bad a game can really be. A few days after this flogging, one of the developers of Amy came out and made this long, whiny post on Facebook on how reviewers just didn't get it, that the public really needed to not overlook this game because it's not bad, it's hard. Now, normally, I might give the guy some breathing space. I might give the guy, you know, okay, maybe. Not when you can get this many game reviewers. There's 22 of them now, 22 professional reviews on Metacritic. For everybody from IGN to Destructoid to Kotaku to Joystick to Escapist, Game Trailers, even the official Xbox magazine. It's an XBLA title. Gave it a 4.
Are you serious?
I am dead serious. I'm looking at it right here. You all can go look at freaking Metacritic for yourself if you think I'm lying. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't so much a discussion topic, although both of you are welcome to say whatever you would like or if you agree with me. If you're a developer out there, I'm serious. I'm doing this to you as a favor to save you a bunch getting slagged on by people. If your game sucks this bad, I know it hurts. I know you guys put a lot of hours into Amy, and it just didn't work. But coming out and trying to tell people it's not horrible, it's hard, yeah, that's the line. That's the line. I think after seeing where the bottom of the barrel is, I'm probably going to be able to easily tolerate Cliffy pulling the "I was joking, no, I'm not joking" shtick about eights from now on. Does that sound about like the bottom? Is that sound about like the line? Is that agreeable with you, John?
Oh, it's just brutal. You know, it's not our game. Everybody else is the problem. That doesn't score you very many points, Metacritic aside.
Right, but I mean, when it's that bad, isn't it? Doesn't that sound like pretty much the line where where it's time to shut up?
Yep, definitely. Take it on the chin, move on.
Oh. Glacinator.
It's a conspiracy.
Really? Have you played this game? Have you known it?
It's a conspiracy.
Anybody? Oh, it's
Metacritic, Xbox Live Magazine, Jim Sterling, everyone. They're all in on secret government conspiracy. This game is amazing. 10 stars. 10.5 stars.
No, 11 out of 10. That was the official one from...
No, it doesn't get 11. It's only 0.5.
Oh,
the title screen was lacking in animation.
Oh, okay.
But this game is excellent. I understand. I am totally with this person on Twitter. She's totally right.
Facebook, I think.
On Facebook? I don't even know. It deserves Game of the Year award.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm sure you're playing it right now, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm Xbox controller right here. Look, here are the buttons. Yep, playing right now. It's excellent.
If your theory is correct about it being a conspiracy, then it's a well-orchestrated one, and I want to know what kind of drugs they gave to get it done, because I have never seen reviewers agree. Like, getting a bunch of video game reviewers, professional as they may be, to actually agree on something like this. I mean, I've never seen this.
They had a secret anti-Amy convention.
Is that what it was?
Yes, that's what happened.
Free cookies? Is that how we got this done?
Yes.
That's impressive. Well, there you go. There you go, video game companies. We've given you two life lessons today. If you want universal good scores, game cookies. Because as far as I can tell, getting professional game reviewers to agree on anything is like herding cats on fire. Not just herding cats, but herding cats on fire who are chasing chickens. So... there you have it. We have the conspiracy.
You do bring up a good point, Bruce.
What?
Jokes aside, though, is that if every reviewer agrees, it's obviously something wrong.
It's either something really right. Look, after the guy made the Facebook post, okay, I went, okay. Now, I know Jim hated it, and I know a couple other guys I trust hated it. Ben Kachura, who now, funnily enough, is working for Penny Arcade. He used to work for Ars Technica. I think Gertzman over at Giant Bomb too, and there was one other guys who usually I tend to know that they're kind of the kind of guys I want to read. I'm like, so I knew that their reviews were bad. And then Jim was talking about this Facebook post and he linked it. And so that's when I finally went to Metacritic and looked and I went, holy shit, they all agree? Oh, you're just making it harder on yourself, poor game developer. And again, yeah. It's kind of like the piracy thing. I did this discussion topic part two to kind of lighten the mood from the serious one, but there is a line where just even as hard as you worked on a game, it's just better to shut off all your computers for a couple days and just go away. It's like Clay Senator just said, there's something either really right or really wrong with your game if you actually get professional game reviewers to agree. Have you looked at, have either of you gone over to Metacritic and can actually look at what I'm looking at?
It's pretty bad. Looking at it right now.
It's the worst one I've ever seen.
Like they're raping this poor game. I'm starting to feel bad for it now.
I don't know. I'm bloody tempted to pick it up at like 400 points just to see if it's really that bad. Oh, what was that water game last year? A lot of them smacked around. Whatever the title was, that was another developer that came out and said it was just too difficult and da 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 da. They weren't in that complete agreement on that one.
Was that Hydrophobia?
Yeah, that's the one. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. They put out a second version of that now.
Oh really?
Apparently so. That they fixed up stuff. I don't know if it's any better or not, but.
Oh, I remember that because some of the reviewers were refusing to re-review it. they said they wouldn't do it twice. Yeah, I remember when I don't think they even called it a second one. I think they just called it a re-release.
Yeah, like Hydrophobia Regen or something like that. I can't remember. Something
if
like
your
that.
Game has that many bugs in it, maybe you shouldn't have released it the first time.
But as far as Amy goes, you know, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it probably sucks.
Yep. So there you go, game developers. Those of you who listen to us, and I know there's thousands. Cliffy's our biggest fan. Considering I know how easily he blocks people on Twitter, I highly doubt that. We've given you two life lessons today. There is a certain point where your game's tanking so horribly, you should just shut up and go away. And second, if you want to get game reviewers to all agree to Glacinator's conspiracy theory, you got to give them cookies. My suspicion would be the cookies were laced with LSD. Maybe that's why the game sucks so bad. They were all high on LSD. There we go. Now I'm accusing reviewers of all being high. Yeah, some people actually probably believe that. Okay, let's get the hell out of this. Go to Audio Master G before I make an even bigger mess. That's right, Audio Master G. He's got another question. I'm kind of wondering with developments today how he's going to send me future questions. But we got this one. Take it away, Audio Master G.
One cell. Is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.
Hey, hey, Audio Master G here. How's the WPO crew doing? You know, on the WPO, we often talk about cliches in video games, and first-person shooters are certainly full of them. Space Marines come to mind, or even more so, the U.S. Army versus, well, everybody, but usually Nazis, and zombies, or zombie Nazis. Ah, glorious mission, indeed, and I'll send you guys along a link to what I'm talking about. You see, in May of 2012, a first-person shooter entitled Glorious Mission will be released to the public. It's a training simulation FPS funded by the Chinese People's Liberation Army. Ah, so the tables have now turned. Elizabeth Delorier, or Deloria, I don't know how to pronounce her name, is the author of this article, and she poses an excellent question. So I will quote her here and turn the discussion over to you, the WPO crew. And I quote, "Now, most of the controversy seems to stem from the fact the game depicts soldiers of a country they're on peaceful terms with as an enemy. But if we think about this for a second, is this really a fair argument? A lot of American games depict Americans doing the exact same thing to many countries they're on good terms with, and this includes China." End quote. I won't lie to you, I'm certainly interested in seeing what this title is like, and hell, I might even pick it up if it turns out to be good. But I want to hear what you guys think. So rant away, podcasters, and until next time, Audio Master G, out.
Hey, G, it's good to hear from you again. I like your question. It's an interesting topic that is what's good for the goose, or is what's good for the goose still good for the gander? Well, I think so. I don't really have a problem with Americans being bad guys. It might sting a little for the people who are opposed to that opinion. But you know, it's if it can go one way, I don't see why it can't go another. I think it's a tit for tat. What do you guys think?
It is an interesting question, G. And to be honest, I do not really care. When I'm playing Call of Duty, I mean, I don't play Call of Duty. When I'm playing Battlefield or Halo or whatever it is, and I'm shooting people, I don't really notice who I'm shooting. I'm just shooting people that are shooting at me. It does not matter to me if they're Chinese, if they're Asian, or if they're alien. It really doesn't make a difference. So if there is a game that is made in China where they attack the U.S. and they kill Americans, whatever, it's more of the same. It's another FPS, whatever. So I might actually play it as well if it looks good. So yeah.
Hey, Audio Master G. You know, I find this question really great because I had no idea it was happening, for one, and for two, I want to play it, just like these guys have said, but not because the Chinese are the quote-unquote good guys and the Americans are the quote-unquote bad guys. I'll get into that aspect in a second. But they call it a military simulator that they've turned into a video game. Now, I watch a lot of the History Channel and a lot of Military Channel, and when I see some of these military simulators that they use to train guys with, you know, for driving tanks, infantry combat scenarios, flight scenarios, this and that, a lot of the technology looks about Quake 2, if not even older. And I always get a chuckle because some sergeant or lieutenant or whatever is standing there going, yes, well, this is the latest in 3D graphics and real-life simulations. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, no, it's not. It looks like Geometry Wars. You know, so I'm interested in it from that aspect because I just do not see how the quality is going to be that great. As to the whole the Americans are going to be enemies scenario, you know, there's going to be a segment of this population here in the U.S. that bothers or that would get riled up, but they're not people that play video games. They're the kind of people who get worked up or overreact to the whole sensationalist news stories about violent video games causing violence. You know, they're not the kind of people that would actually sit down and play it. They would just see it as, ooh, the Chinese are using Americans as enemies and flip out from there. Personally, I'm like Glacier. I don't care. I'm the blue guy and you're the red guy. And if I kill enough of you red guys, you're dead. You're done. I win. You lose. Suck it. You know, so I mean, it just, knowing China, this is probably just a big propaganda tool to make their people believe in the strength of their army and hopefully flip some more conservative right-wing folks out here in this country. Nothing more, nothing less. Now, as I said earlier, I kind of want to play it to see how bad it is graphically because I can't believe it's going to be as good as MW3, Battlefield 3, Gears 3. God, there's a lot of threes in there. Imagine that. You know, Halo, Reach, hell, Halo CE, you know, the 360 version. I just cannot see it being that. And as far as the whole, you know, you playing as the Chinese versus Americans, it doesn't bother me. And I would suspect most gamers it doesn't bother. But believe me, I'm going to be keeping an eye out for it. If it actually makes it to the States and gets released in some format, I can purchase it. I will. John, I was in the little gamers room when you were doing your spiel. Do you want to try it out too? Or are you in the same camp?
I would definitely give it a shot on a demo and see how it plays. I don't know if I'd pick it up. You know me in first person shooters. I'm not the biggest player of those games, but yeah, I mean, I'd check it out a demo for sure.
I wonder if there will be a demo. And now it's bringing up all these other things that, like, state sponsored video games. Like, well, the demo will be brought to you by the local Communist Farmers Union 555.
You might have to pirate it.
Yeah, my foreign pirate might get it for me, yeah.
Okay, that was Audio Master G. Thanks, G. Really appreciate the question. Let's move on to news. We're going to do one news story. I kind of like the political discussion topic slash evil lawsuit. It's not gaming story. I'm kind of doing this as a Bruce McGee, I told you so. Look what happens. First show, Pat's gone, and I'm just out of freaking control. The headline, this comes to us from computerandvideogames.com, if you care. Multiplayer gaming is not the future. Now, I'm not going to read you this because the guy's tone, at least to my hillbilly ass, is quite pretentious. I bring this story up because for the 2 years that WonderPod has been in existence and the year WonderPod Online has been in existence, I've been saying the same bloody thing. I just don't have the audience as Dirtbag does. Okay, he's not a dirtbag. I don't know him personally. He's probably clean. But it is nice to see Mr. Williams actually argue this, because no matter how hot multiplayer games are right now, you still have to have a complete package as far as I'm concerned. And so having it all multiplayer only is not the answer, as he contends in his article, and something I've been saying as I just was bragging about for about 2 years. But I do have one question for both of you gentlemen. Glace, we'll start with you first. Will we see a day where the industry gets so full of itself that they try to do a time period of multiplayer only before realizing how stupid they are and go back to what we have now? Or do you think it will pretty much always stay as what we have now?
Well, I think there will always be some single-player games out there, whether or not they have social media connections inputted into them. I can't say. Probably so. I can potentially see a future where there are still single-player games, but there are connectivity to some social media asset that you can see other people's single-player games. So while it still is essentially a single-player experience, there are also sort of multiplayer experiences, if you can see what I'm saying. Like, Angry Birds is a single-player game, but it's also multiplayer in the same aspect that you can compare scores with your friends online and see other things. So single-player games will not die, but they'll definitely be implemented more into combining the same experiences that you have with these same games together, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I do, because I know I'm mentioning him again. Certain people are probably going to be pissed. For about a month when Angry Birds hit Google Plus, me, Jim Sterling, Jim's wife, and one other dude whose name is not coming to me, it just seemed like maybe without even talking about it, discussing it, or being cognizant of it, we just sat there and kept trying to beat each other's high scores. Now, I know I was doing it, especially with Jim's wife, because she's really good at it, and it was getting tougher and tougher and tougher to beat her. So there was kind of, I suppose, a social aspect to it. But that was still without, you know, any discussion between any of us. I really wish I could think of the other guy that I'm friends with on Google Plus that was doing it too, but... I think Pat did for a little bit. Like, Pat played the first few levels, and I
beat you on one level. I know that.
Huh?
There's one level I beat you on.
Oh, I'll have to go check. Because, yeah, and I mean, it does kind of bring in that social interaction, but it is still a single player game that you don't, you know, feel pressure to like, oh, I got to play it now because my buddies are playing it, so on and so forth. So I get what you're saying. John, you think the same as Glacinator? Do you think the game industry is going to get stupid enough to try and make it all online, all multiplayer? Or are we going to stay about the same?
I think we're going to stay about the same. I don't think the single player game is going to go. Is going to go away. It's just, I mean, for every game that comes out, you know, the Call of Duties, the Halos that have so much high use of multiplayer within them. Along comes the Skyrim, and then this shows how much people can still get into a single player deep experience, and take it on their own. I mean, I've been on here many, many times, you know, saying that I love my single player games, and it's not, I don't think it's going to change. But to get to what Glace mentioned about single player games that kind of incorporate multiplayer aspects, you had your Angry Birds example. The same thing happened to me with Geometry Wars 2. I had my friends list from my Xbox Live, and I was constantly checking, like back when I was really into that game, I was checking those leaderboards all the time because it's right there in front of you. You don't have to click anything. It's always present. Who's got the best on this particular level? Who's got the best here? And trying to beat those scores. It was very addictive. And it was one of the first games I think I played on my Xbox when I first got it. And so I had, you know, these high resolution, really great looking games like the Gears games and stuff. And here I was playing Geometry Wars, so you know, all night long. And those kinds of things are fantastic. But one other thing I will say, an interesting game that integrates a single-player experience with multiplayer, I wish I could speak on it a bit more because I haven't played it in detail, but it's a game on PS3 called Demon's Souls. And while Demon's Souls has a pretty big reputation for being a difficult game, there is a cool thing that it does where it integrates a connectivity between everybody playing their standalone single-player experience. I'm paraphrasing something that I heard somebody talking about within it. Like, you'll play the game single-player, and go along, and you'll come to a point where you're having a duel with against an enemy. And very quickly you realize that enemy is not a computer-generated character. It's another player playing the game that you're now facing in a one-on-one match to the death. And it's all part of the RPG that you're playing. I wish I could go into a bit more detail on the repercussions of that fight and those kinds of things, but it's a really cool idea to know that you're there's a connectivity there. Like, you don't chat. It's not like an MMO kind of thing, but like within the context of an RPG and this big sweeping scope of a story, it's not as simple as an enemy that you fight multiple times with a predictable strategy and movement. And it's a real person, and you have to think on your feet pretty quickly. It's a cool idea, and I just want to throw that out there.
Well, I mean, my selfish reasoning for bringing this story up aside, you kind of just encapsulated, both of you did, what I think the evolution of gaming is going to be. Yeah, multiplayer, and it's the ability to monetize multiplayer is a really hot commodity right now. But I think you're going to see more of an evolution. Forgive me, Pat Senior. I know you don't like that word used in that way, but I do. In this case, where it's going to be more like Demon's Souls. And then again, too, you have kind of an old school aspect, because what Glacinator is talking about and what you talked about with Geometry Wars and what I'm thinking of with Burnout Crash with one or two friends of mine on XBL or on Xbox Live, it's kind of the old school arcade mentality, where you would play Super Mario Street or Street Fighter or Pac-Man or whatever, go away, you know, leave the arcade or the pizza parlor, come back, like, you know, how many ever days later, and see if somebody beat your high score. And then attempt to beat their high score. And it, you know, and it's back. It was just kind of a challenge, a solitary challenge, but one with still some competitiveness to it. And it was a lot of fun. It wasn't the trash talking 12-year-old squeaky voiced annoyances that we run into in, like, you know, first person shooters on Xbox Live, but it still was competitive and a challenge. I've done that on a bunch of games with the arcade, now that you mentioned it, John, you know, like Burnout Crash, or in the game room there was high scores with Gunsage and some of the old arcade titles and stuff. So I could see more of a well, if you don't like the term evolution, I could see more of a progression in how multiplayer and single player kind of combine. But yeah, taking away a single player experience in total is never going to happen. Games like Skyrim prove it's never going to happen. You know, I mean, and that's just one of this year's titles that provided, you know, hundreds of hours of play experience. I'll Fallout New Vegas, for better or for worse, same thing. But I have to admit, it's nice to see somebody else going, you know, multiplayer can't be it all, blah, 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 blah. Maybe some people, like, maybe we'll get Bioshock Infinite without tacked on crappy multiplayer, unlike Bioshock 2. Of course, then again, I'm not going to hold my breath on that. So there you go. That's been news. Yeah, I'd heard that about Demon's Souls, John, but I don't know. That game sounds brutally difficult, and I don't like pissing myself off more than I have to. So I avoid
I have it, and I've played through the tutorial and just to give it a test drive. And yeah, tutorial wasn't too bad, even though I had the fear in me because what everybody says, but it wasn't too horrible, at least so far.
It'll be interesting as you get into it to see what you think, because I've seen a lot of people who upfront claim they love hard games and love insane challenges just go, man, that Demon's Souls kicked my ass. And it's like, yeah, it's not a game for me. Love the concepts. It's not a game for me.
There's so many awesome Rage Quit videos online.
Is there? Yeah, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm gonna have to go check that out on YouTube. I bet there are. I bet that game's number one for that.
Sure, there are a million Xbox controllers broken on floors
from
across the world right now. Yeah, from Demon's Souls.
Oh, that's the thing. I mean, I maybe it came with age, but I just know there's just certain games. It's like, nope. Don't all a bunch of my buddies maybe playing them? Maybe the hot ticket item, but nope.
Oh, and Bruce, I know you got out on me for sissing out on Outlands, but I will beat Outlands eventually.
Oh, you remember that I gave you shit.
I remember that. I listened to that on the car ride up here. I was like, oh, he's calling me out.
That game is a lot more difficult than you'd think it would be, though.
It was.
And it kind of drops you off a cliff. It's not like it really kind of gentles you into it. Because Pat and I were going along being pretty much the two stooges in co-op, you know, having our fair share of difficulties, but getting through it. And then we got to one boss, and it's just like, both of us found excuses not to play it after that. And it was pretty much split. All right, well, I expect, even if you're not with us here every week, I expect a report on when you finish it, whether it's pre-recorded or live. Then you can give me the full me up yours.
All right.
I was going to ask you if you'd listen to that episode or not. I was going to tell you I'd been kind of thrashing on you gently a little bit. That game is challenging, though. I figured you would sooner or later. I wasn't too concerned about that. Okay, I think that's enough show for the show. So since Pat's enough show for the show. Wow, I'm losing it. This one's been a weird one, folks, as far as recording goes, but you'll never know that until I just said it. Look. Hi, dog. You want to come do a podcast? You can't come do a podcast. As you can tell, I'm not eating, so I don't know why you're in here. Okay, dog's gone. Let me get the spiel. We'll get the hell out of here. That's right. Pat's gone, so it's my turn now. We have Facebook, WanderPod Online. Pretty simple. Don't know how much it's going to be updated now with Pat on daddy duty, but we'll see what we can do to make sure it keeps you up to date and informed on when things are going on. You can get the show on iTunes. We could use some love at iTunes because apparently it's a giant high school popularity contest all over again. So give us a rating. Don't care if it's good, bad. Just like to get into the search engine or to the actual search results after a year and a half. We have YouTube videos, a bunch of Pac-Man plays, a bunch of really old school Minecraft road trip. It was almost like stop motion puppets because I don't have anything to record video games with yet. What else am I missing? Facebook, YouTube. Oh, the website, wonderpodonline.com. Yes, as you can tell, we're super original. And believe me, just search WonderPod or WonderPod Online. And if you weekly listeners are really lucky, I'll get Pat to pre-record this segment so I don't have to stumble my way through it each and every week. Let's see. I think that's pretty much it. I'll do my part now and give you the email address, which is wonderpodonline@gmail.com, wonderpodonline@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at wonderpodonline, all one word, or you can follow me at O-R-I-G-I-M, or you can follow John
at damn. At John, I do this so well most times, but oh well.
Screw it. This has been a weird show.
The streak is over. Yeah, it's at John Keogh, J-O-N-K-E-H-O-E. And my word of advice for Pat is sleep when the baby sleeps.
That sounds like really sound advice. Do you want to give your Twitter Glacinator, even though I don't think you've ever used it?
Yeah, I think my last update was from E3 last year. So it's at Glacinator if you want to follow me, but I'm like dead on Twitter. So.
Yeah, but expect very few updates. You're probably better off following John or I. We're usually talking about something that might be related to video games, like John getting people's hopes up with Bastion earlier today and me finding out my Twitter account's value is garbage. So this has been episode 94. I am Bruce McGee. I'm freaking out of here to see what I need to do to prostitute my Twitter account. Later, people.
Cheers.
Goodbye.